Hi, this is your friend Emmanuel Dagger, and you're listening to the Miracle Cafe, the home of transformational conversations that serve to attract even more miracles in your life. The Miracle Cafe is excited to connect you with visionary guests, concepts, and modalities here to assist you in manifesting a miraculous life. It's my deepest honor to welcome you to the Miracle Cafe. Hey, happy holidays, my amazing friend, and welcome to the Miracle Cafe. I'm Emmanuel Dagger, and I'm just so grateful to connect with you. Today's theme is all about worthiness, and I'm just really excited about our special guest today and all the wisdom that he's going to share with us around this subject so that we can better understand how to feel even more worthy and deserving to all the good the universe has in store for us and that has always had in store for us. But before we do that, let's just jump right into our hot topics of the day. Our panelists today are leading-edge, thought-provoking, inspirational speaker, author, and healer David Matthew Brown and Emmanuel Bombardier, who's had quite a transformational journey in understanding the inner works of the soul and has used his own experiences to teach others the miracles of living in the midst of their unique essence while following their hearts. A big welcome to the both of you. Thank you guys for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
It is an absolute pleasure.
Thank you. So let's just get right into the hot topics. The first one comes from Sammy in Chicago. So Sammy writes, I'm a mother of three beautiful kids who tend to take up all of my time. I know that it's important to make time for myself. However, I'm not really sure how to go about it because if I leave my kids, I feel guilty. I would love to hear your thoughts. David, why don't you take this one?
I'd love to, particularly because I have a child. My first intuition or first thought about this is, does Sammy have a partner? And if Sammy does have a partner, then my next question is, maybe this isn't so much about feeling guilty about anything. Maybe this has to deal around trusting yourself and trusting that your kids are okay when you're not around. And one of the things that I had trouble with, or I had to work through with my child, was kind of around that same thing, but what I did was I just kind of took it piece by piece, and I'll be brief. I just kind of took a couple minutes for myself, and I'd go back in my day with my child. And then I'd come back, and I'd focus on my breath, or I'd focus on just being present on where I was. And the more I got comfortable with just that, I was able to actually start to listen to myself and hear what I needed to do to take those next steps. And for me, that was maybe go take a yoga class, maybe hire a babysitter and go out on a date. So let it be more of a moment-by-moment thing. Don't really try to jump into something dramatic. Just kind of take your time. That would be my recommendation.
And David, have you found that when you do those things for yourself, you actually are showing up so much more of the true you with your child? Like you can actually enjoy your child even more. Have you noticed that?
Fully. In particular, there was a time where the other day I actually hired a babysitter to take care of my daughter. As I just went to a movie, and I went to a movie by myself. And I came back, and I was just overflowing with more energy to give. Yes, so I agree with you on that, yeah.
Beautiful. And Emmanuel, I would love to hear your perspective.
Well, first of all, beautifully said, David. I totally and 100% agree with you. I think for me, one of the key elements is recognizing the true purpose of feeling like you need to leave the children. Whether it's the children, your spouse, some friends that you're just with too often, or roommates, going deeper into the emotion of what is it that I'm really trying to get here. It's not necessarily the action is what we believe will get us to the emotions we're seeking for. And what I'm getting from Sammy is a sense of relief, a relief and release. A lot of parents are with their kids 24/7, and it's like at some point I just want to be able to be with myself, by myself, to breathe. And the way to do that very often is comes in many, many forms. And what I want to say is the way that I personally do it when I want to actually let go and relieve the pressure or the tension that exists in a situation or in a relationship, whether it's with your kids or with your friends, like I'm saying, whatever that relationship may be, it's actually drive your focus from that relationship with the other person or with the child in this case, and then just shift the focus to yourself. You see, paying attention and spending time with yourself doesn't require you necessarily to leave and be by yourself to be with yourself. Mm. I think the key here is to make sure that you can redirect your focus inwards so that you can actually focus on you. Even if you're in the midst of, you know, being with the kids on a birthday party.
Right.
And that's a very interesting factor that I think a lot of us are relearning.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, the whole guilt piece that Sammy was talking about, you know, a lot of people feel that. And I think it's just something that's ingrained in our culture, or it's passed down, you know, oh, well, if we leave our kids, then we're not good parents. But it's actually the opposite, because if we give some time for ourselves, even if we're present physically, they're in the other room or they're in the same room, like you're saying, Emmanuel, but really giving yourself time to meditate, take some deep breaths, or, you know, like David was saying, go take a yoga class, go watch a movie. You know, that's going to actually, in essence, build a stronger relationship with your children. Beautiful. So let's get right into the second question. This one comes from Annie in Los Angeles. Annie asks, I work in a business where criticism is a daily occurrence. At first, it didn't really bother me much. However, after a while, it really seems to weigh on me. Do you have any advice as to how I can be resilient to criticism, especially when it's always around me in the workplace? Emmanuel, let's go ahead and have you start on that.
That's a beautiful question. I think that the first thing I would personally do is recognize the fact that the criticism is not mine, first of all. So don't take ownership for what is being said out there that doesn't necessarily feel so good. And when you can actually release the attachments to the information, the data just being shared, then all of a sudden it doesn't affect you to the magnitude that it used to when you're actually taking it on. We're all very empathic human beings. And when we actually communicate visually with someone, or even in the same location as somebody, we can sense and feel energy. And if someone's in that sense of criticizing and just being in this nagging mode or mood, and all of a sudden, we pick up on that. So just releasing it and letting go of it is the first step, knowing and understanding that it's not necessarily yours. The second part is, here's what I would recommend. If you try this, I guarantee you and I promise you that it will actually change your life. For just one day, try this. And it might be a little insane and a little tough to do at the beginning, but just try this once. Throughout your day, in your mind's ear, I want you to repeat to yourself these two words. Thank you. Thank you, 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 thank you. As you're driving your vehicle to work, as you're sitting at your desk, as you're, you know, getting your cup of coffee in the morning, just repeat those two words over and over and over again. And just watch how significantly different people respond to you, number one. How significantly different the types of conversation you engage in are. And how significantly different every single other moment happens to be for you. I challenge all of you to try that.
And you know, we've all heard gratitude, how important that is, but I love that, just daily, like over and over again, and trying it out. So I'm going to try it. I hope the listeners are going to try it. And did you have anything else to add to that, Emmanuel, or can we go ahead and go to David?
We can absolutely go ahead and get to David. Just thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, so David, what would you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, you know what? I love that when we talk about these topics here on Hot Topics, and when we're throwing around ideas and just being with the question, that what always resonates with me, which is fantastic, is that this journey is really about the journey from the inside out, about how you are living from your world inside. And what popped into my mind is we all encounter situations both in our business, when we go to family parties, when we go to different locations, maybe a shopping center. But we're always surrounded by criticism or people that are criticizing other people or judging. Mm-hmm. So the first thing that pops into my mind that may be of use to Annie in Los Angeles is I would allow her to put her attention on the center of her head. When you put your attention in the center of your head, the voice stops, that story, that interpreter stops. and set the intention that when you are going into a situation that you set an intention, like we did before the show. We set an intention before the show, before we speak, we set an intention. By putting your attention on the center of your head, you begin to become the center of the universe, of your universe. And by resting in that place like they do in Taoism or Taoism, that's what they do. They practice on centering on the center of their head by putting the attention there. So when they walk into a room or a situation, they have a still mind. And by resting in that still mind and walking into a place of criticism, you are more highly attuned, like Emmanuel brought up so beautifully, to what's going on around you. And then your own inner guidance, your inside life, will then guide you from there. Maybe you should leave the room, or maybe you should go over here, or maybe you should add this to the conversation and shift it, or maybe you can do this. So my advice to Annie would be to really rest in her inside life, because it really feels like she's ready to do that, and let that take over. Let that guide her.
Wow, and I just want to say that even though these hot topics are so quick, I mean, look at the powerful tools and processes that we just received from both of you. I mean, they're just miraculous. So, you know, centering in the middle part of the head. I mean, I can already feel it the minute you were talking about it. And Emmanuel, the thank you. So that is just amazing. Annie, I hope you really try these and hopefully they work for you. And Joya, let's get to the next question. Joya in Turkey. We have someone from Turkey. I have a really low self-esteem and I want to know how to build more confidence. What is your advice? Thank you. All right, so let's get to Emmanuel. Let's take that.
Beautiful. I love these questions, by the way. For me, when I look at confidence and how to actually build confidence, the way that I see it is it's this repetitive winning of whatever objective you have. The building of confidence happens through success. When you set an objective for yourself and you actually follow through and achieve it, that creates the sense of, when I commit to something, I follow through and I make it happen, or I allow it to happen. And that creates this sense of my word means something and I follow through in it. That's what creates confidence from my perspective. The two things I want to bring up with this, two considerations. The first one is I would like you to consider that your life is a game. And just observe your life as being a game, your game. That's the first step. The second part of this is I want you to recognize that all these rules, boundaries, and guidelines that you've set for yourself are also yours within this game that is yours. So your life is a game, number one. Number two, you can create the rules, every and any rules to that game. So here's the key. The key here is to make sure that when you are actually creating rules for your game, whether you're creating them or you're actually taking them from someone else, like your mother or teacher or the police or whatever, I want you to make sure that you actually set the rules so that you win. Too many of us actually set rules that are so big that we always lose. We lose at our own game. And that's where you lose that sense of confidence, because we set the expectations way too high. And I think that a great way that I've actually been able to get myself in that state of when I say something, when I commit to something, I follow through, and it always, every single time it happens, regardless of if I understand how it's going to happen, I know deep down in my heart that it will, because I have this pattern of committing to something and seeing it through. But I had to start with something that was small enough for me to get excited, but also, big enough for me to get excited, but small enough for me to know that I could achieve it. So if you actually start setting the rules and the guidelines in your life and within your life so that you can actually succeed, you'll find yourself getting on this wagon of momentum, positive momentum towards lifting your self-esteem and gaining and creating more confidence with yourself and within yourself.
Wow, that was so interesting, because as you were saying that, it was kind of bringing up, just had a little bit of a flashback to, when I first moved out to California and everyone was against it. And I was like, no, I have to do it because I feel it and I'm going to do it. And I did it. So, I mean, just really, it could have been big for them, but for me, it was just big enough, but I knew that I could accomplish it. And then so that, while you were talking about that, it sort of reminded me of when that happened and then sort of building on that, because I was able to make that happen, then the next thing was able to happen, and then the next thing. So those who are listening, if you are feeling a little bit of lack of self-confidence or anything, you know, definitely take some of Emmanuel's advice. And David, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, the only thing that I would add is when it comes to confidence, in particular when people come to a practice of any kind, they're always concerned about low self-esteem, not feeling worthy, confidence issues. I would look at the word confidence, which means to confide, and I would ask her, what are you confiding in? If you're confiding in anything outside yourself, you're going to feel low about yourself because you're not listening to you, and you matter. You exist, you're part of existence, so you matter. So I would use the word confide and flip inward and start to develop a practice where you're coming from the inside out, just what Emmanuel just talked about with those three great gifts that he just gifted you with. With that, I would really sit with your inner life and really begin to see how you can trust that inner life more. And as you trust that inner life more, you'll begin to have a different kind of confidence, because that confidence will be confiding in you. And you are the I am presence, that great presence in life. And we love that you're here, and you're a gift here on this planet. I mean, look at your name, Joya. Joy. Right? You're a great
right.
joy to this planet. So that's what I know.
That's so amazing. And Joya, I'd like to add one thing. You're getting sort of different perspectives, but they all kind of go together so well. For me, what has really worked, because I used to have some self-esteem issues, was being of service. So finding opportunities to be of service to your community, whether, you know, if you want to do after-school programs or if you want to help, you know, maybe people that you may feel are a little bit less fortunate than you, or even people who you feel are more fortunate than you, just finding opportunities to be of service and help and give back, that has worked wonders for me, and it makes me move out of myself and into the whole, into the greater connection that we are all one. So thank you, Sammy, Annie, and Joya, for your amazing questions. And anyone else who's tuning in, if you have a question that you want to have answered or just get different perspectives on, please email me at Emmanuel@miraclecaferadio.com, and we'll make sure to read those on the air and share on them. And David and Emmanuel, thank you guys both for being here today. If you can just please share, let's start with Emmanuel, share where our listeners can find out more about you.
Well, first of all, I just wanted to thank you for creating this platform. I feel very blessed to be here with you and sharing this knowledge with all those that are tuning in right now. And what I would like to share is my beautiful obsession really quickly. It's the intention call, which we had the opportunity to have Emmanuel on, not me, but the other one that's on the other end. He was on the intention call, and it was absolutely fabulous. What it is, it's a 15-minute gathering that happens every week where literally hundreds of people from across the globe come together to focus on one particular intention simultaneously. And that creates this humongous, enormous bubble, a mastermind effect of booming and focused energy that truly impacts the field. And it's our way of giving back, and it's been my beautiful obsession for the past 2 years now. So I invite you to check it out at www.intentioncall.com. Thank you. Thank you, Emmanuel.
Perfect. Thank you so much, and hope to have you back soon. And David, where can we learn more about you?
It would just be easy. Go to Facebook and just type in Feminine Rising, and you'll be able to join my group and see what I'm up to.
Perfect. All your information, events, etc. Feminine Rising. All right. Thank you both so much. And now I'm so honored and grateful to introduce you to our guest today. Soul Dancer enjoys a unique birth name as well as a life as a social worker, monk, shaman, keynote speaker, live talk radio show host, and syndicated columnist. Soul is the founder of Soul University and author of Pay Me What I'm Worth. His life journey includes earning a master's in social work and a bachelor's in human relationships from the University of Minnesota. He's traveled to 20-plus countries to receive training and offer teachings in 3 monastic orders, Buddhist, Hindu, and Christian, along with shamanic training in 4 North and South American indigenous tribes. He enjoys learning how to live a culturally competent, spiritually awake, and aware life. He lives his passion to be of service. Soul Dancer, welcome to the Miracle Cafe, brother.
Mahalo nui loa. Good to see you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. That was a mouthful, but I'm so grateful I got through it. And I'm so excited to talk to you. I instantly had a heart connection with you a few weeks back, and I'm just so grateful that you're here. I know today is all about, the theme is about the miracle of worth, and a lot of our listeners really, especially the empaths and the sensitives, we've had a lot of challenges with worth. So since our theme is all about this subject, and I know that you are deemed and known as the worth doctor, what do you feel are some contributing factors to why so many people in the world may have some challenges in knowing their worth?
Well, Emmanuel, first you address, you know, a family near and dear to us both, and that those folks who consider themselves energy workers, light workers, body workers, people of service. One of the more interesting things that I've found about that concept of service is we still have this tie to what's concrete. We can touch it, taste it, feel it, smell it, poop and pee it, that sort of thing. You know, and if we can't do that, if it's not visceral, if it's not tactile, aromatic, audio, there's this notion that it's not real. It's not valued if it's not real, right?
Yeah.
And so for those who are hesitant to bring people like you and I into their life and, quote, pay them, unlike going to the salon where when you're done, you've got the beautiful hair, you've got the beautiful nails, you have something to show for the money you paid, true?
Yes.
It's concrete. If you go to a restaurant and you pay, you know, $200 for that bottle of wine that's, you know, you know that what a $200 bottle of wine tastes like. I have no clue, but I mean, you can put a value to it because you're physically experiencing it.
Mm-hmm.
And so for our tribe of energy folks and light folks and so forth and so on, I've often asked my students and clients, I say, the only way that I can sense putting concreteness to this, the worth to what you're doing, is after you've done that work, and I know I'm preaching to the choir here when I'm talking with you, Emmanuel, but when you're in that situation where 6 months ago, if you were in that same situation, and it would have driven you crazy. Case in point, I had a client who just could not stand fussy children. And because this particular person traveled extensively, you know, come on, the odds of having fussy people on the plate are pretty big, you know?
Right.
You know, and so 6 months ago, this man would just do everything he could, you know, earplugs, headsets, try to knock himself out, especially on long flights, but it would just drive him insane that these children was bothering him. And so we began to work on what's underneath that, and issues of control and so forth and so on. Fast forward 6 months later, he's like, look, I can be in a plane full of screaming kids and it doesn't bother me at all. Now, that's a way of taking something esoteric and making it concrete. He felt the worth of our time together, our work together, because there was a before and after. Now, in your own journey, the before and afters and some of the folks that you've worked with, you've got to have a great story here to share.
Oh, absolutely. And even in my own life, for me, you know, I had scoliosis for a very long time, and I started getting that around 10 or 11 years old. And I went to all the Western doctors, and the whole idea of getting a metal rod in my spine and having arthritis, or feeling that feeling of arthritis for the rest of my life didn't really sit well with me. So having such an amazing mother who was very open and very spiritual, kind of looked and supported me in looking into alternative therapies. And through energy work and through alternative therapies, I was actually able to heal my scoliosis. So I know personally the value of it. And I guess you're so right, because that value is so anchored within me, that knowing that this is so valuable, that now I want to offer that to others. So that makes a lot of sense. I never thought about that before and after thing.
Well, and this goes part and parcel with your fabulous book. You know, as I dive deeper into your book, and folks, if you've not gotten Emmanuel's book yet, The Easy Breezy Miracle, what are you waiting for crying out loud? Get his book, The Easy Breezy Miracle, because it is the perfect can opener and actual companion to my book, Pay Me What I'm Worth, because when you dive into your five different miracles. When I was reading your five core foundations of anchoring miracles, self-love and acceptance, Emmanuel, if you don't know who you are, how do you love yourself?
Mm.
How do you accept yourself? If you don't know what you want, I mean, I've often asked people the first thing, what do you want? That's my mm-hmm. first question. I mean, when they say, pay me what I'm worth, I'll say, well, what do you want?
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing when I get this deer in the headlight
look. Black scare, yeah. Yeah, what do I want? Right? They're like, what do I want? Exactly, because they haven't really delved in to see what it is that they really want. They think they want something, but they're not sure, you know?
Exactly. And so... And then there's this, you know, your next point about releasing attachments. It's like, then there are those people, well, they know very concretely what they want. They've got these massive blinders on that if they can't get what they want, when they want it, how they want it, in whatever form or flavor, then they're just not getting what they want. And the beautiful message of your book about letting go of expectations. As you go through the chapters in Pay Me What I'm Worth, mm-hmm. the miracle of worth that happens here is all of a sudden you begin to wake up and you begin to fully begin a journey of accepting, allowing, receiving, mm-hmm. accepting, allowing, and receiving. All right. Do you have any background on that type of work at all? I mean, just,
yeah, just a little bit. but please expand on that for us, because I know that some of our listeners, this is the first time they hear about, you know, expanding and receiving. Like, how do they expand? How do they receive? So can you just share a little bit on that?
Well, the first, where we start with on our journey, and please know the work that I do, it's all about confidence. Confidence. Emmanuel, and for everyone listening, I'd like to play a little game with you. So just follow along if you would.
Sure.
I'd like you to envision, when you hear the word confidence, what's the first face that pops into your mind? I mean, bam, it's right there. Now, I don't need the names. I just let me know when you got it. That person in your mind. You got that person in your mind?
Got it.
Okay. Emmanuel, could you ever imagine cheating that person?
No.
Why not?
I just admire them so much, and really cheating and that whole idea is not in my paradigm, but yes, definitely just admire and respect that person a lot.
They're worth something to you.
Mm.
Yes?
Yes.
And you would not want to damage that worth, true?
True.
Was the picture that came to mind your face?
No. Wow, that's crazy. I just had an aha moment. I just had an aha moment. Wow.
That's it in a nutshell, ladies and gentlemen. For those listening in,
oh my gosh.
If you when you know the type of people that when they walk into the room, they light the place up. Emmanuel, yes. I have no doubt that when you walk into a room, you light the place up. That I have no doubt in my mind whatsoever. You're already lighting up the place that I'm in, and I don't know how many thousands of miles we're distance from each other, but I have no doubt that you're confident in yourself. But there's this nagging little thing in Western and Eastern philosophies that the concept of confidence is wrong.
Right, yes. That's so true. And arrogance, that whole idea.
Arrogance, narcissism, so forth and so on. And so what I've invited people to consider is upgrading your confidence to be what I call compassionately confident. When you hear compassionately confident, Emmanuel, what does that ping for you?
Just really being heart-centered and knowing who we really are. And I can actually, if I were to do an exercise, the same exercise you did earlier, I would probably see myself when you add the word compassionate.
Yes. Yes. This is a video conference. You see my face all wrinkled up in smiles right now. Yes. Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what I'm talking about. Gentle souls, the work that I'm doing is about confidence. And step by step, inch by inch, belief by belief, we dissolve the things like, for example, victimization. I don't know if way early on in your journey with scoliosis, Emmanuel, did you ever dip into that victimization pool at all? Did you ever feel yes. victimized?
Yeah, definitely. And being an empath and a sensitive, you know, at that time not knowing what that meant fully, you know, definitely felt like a victim, outcast, you know, I don't fit in, whatever. So I would say yes.
As we begin to release the sense of victimization through an awareness of what you're worth, I'm known as the worth doctor because I look at worth being subject to what I call decay. We're all familiar with tooth decay, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do teeth decay? What's your version of tooth decay?
Well, obviously not taking proper measures to keep a healthy, clean mouth with a toothbrush and flossing. And then also, of course, sugar and lots of, you know, maybe sometimes there's overindulgence in sweets and things. So that's sort of what I relate and think about.
Spot on. It's a really good standard answer for tooth decay. Now, when we add in the factors of what the chemical reactions does to our body when we're stressed out, when we feel unloved, when our immune system is attacked because we don't get enough sleep, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that adds to tooth decay. Same thing with worth decay. And worth decay is even more insidious. And I always like thinking of it this way. You know, if you were to jump into your standard Japanese hot tub, you probably would scream because most Japanese hot tubs, the soaking tubs, they're up there. They're like at 102, 103 temperature. And you know, when you jump into one of those things, it's like, yeah, yikes. I don't know if you've ever tried this in your own life, but if you've ever drawn a bath and you draw a bath where you start out where it's comfortable and then you add more hot water and then you add more hot water and then you add more hot water, you can end up tolerating an excessively hot bath.
Yes.
You acclimate to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Stress, same thing. As we experience more stress, we generally, if we want to survive, we adapt to it. And then when you take that weekend away or you take that week vacation someplace or you go somewhere on sabbatical or you unplug and then you come back into your, quote, life, unquote, and you look at it from a perspective of, oh, my God, what?
I know. How did I do that?
What? Where's the pause button? You know? Well, worth decay, think about this, as we age, what happens? We start looking at ourselves physically. Are we happy with what we see in the mirror as we age? Our bodies as we age. I'm 51 and I'm making noises that's like, God, I never made those noises like that when I sat down. I need to do more yoga now. You know, aging, ability. When it comes to worth decay, looking at culture, creed, your your position in life, your job, all of these things that change so dramatically as we travel on our pathway, it's easy for our worth to feel less and less. You get fired, someone dies, a relationship ends. Those can knock your sense of worth, yeah?
Yes.
What do you do?
Hmm.
What do you do? The result of my program is I have people now who they could not imagine what they would do if their house burned down and they lost everything. I mean, for example, there's some clients that have been hit by Hurricane Katrina. And up until our time together, they were really pretty much their life was on a downward spiral because they lost everything. Their identity was gone, period. You know, their scrapbooks, their mementos, their material world was gone. And it was almost impossible for them to get really attached back into the world again. They wanted to, you know, they couldn't figure out how to start again.
Mm-hmm.
With the work that I'm doing, what's really exciting is you get to that level of knowing your worth, trusting that everything, that the universe is conspiring for your benefit, like you wrote in your book. Right?
Yes, yes.
You get to that stage when you're all said and done with my work that some pretty amazing things can happen to you that might put most people in the loony bin, but you're like, oh, okay, that happened. What is the lessons from it?
Wow. Wow. So now let me ask you something specific, if it's okay. I want to ask you, you said something about measuring our worth with, you know, the job or how much we have maybe in our bank account. What's one piece of advice right now that you can share with our listeners to really help them move out of that and into knowing what real self-worth is all about?
Almost everyone I know has at some point in time taken a newborn into their arms, right?
Yes.
You've held a newborn, a baby, weeks old, days old, hours old. That sense of awe that washes over you, yeah?
Yeah.
Did that child have any qualifications to inspire that feeling? Like a master's degree or some sort of guru title or, I mean, what qualifications did that baby have to inspire in you awe?
Wow. So it's just a conditional thing, huh?
Bingo.
Because they're so miraculous. And, you know, when we see a newborn, you know, you see divinity in its perfection, really. And even in a sunrise or a flower. So it's just about turning it inwards towards ourselves now and shifting those conditions and out of the, you know, limiting ones into the opening life-enhancing ones. Wow. I'm talking to myself here. It's so funny. I'm like processing. It's so funny.
Smiling on this and don't let me interrupt you.
Well, you know what's interesting is for me, like, as you're speaking, I dreaded speaking in front of people. Like, that was the biggest thing, you know, what am I going to say? Who am I to say anything? You know, that was like my whole thing because I was actually, aside from my mother, who was, again, just so amazing and so in her power, but she too couldn't be around me all the time. Most people in my experience showed up in that way so that I now realize that I can get pushed to what I'm doing now. Back then it was like, oh, well, they, you know, they're not allowing me to do this, they're not, but of course that's the victim consciousness. But for me to be speaking and sharing and not really dimming the light per se within me and, you know, within all of us, that to me is like flabbergasting. And when you talk about self-worth, I realize, you know, through however I was able to acquire that, for me, self-worth was knowing who I really was.
Yes.
And once I figured that out, Then I moved out of the way, said, universe, within me, whatever, do your thing, and let me just eloquently share it however it needs to. And if it's not eloquent, that's okay, as long as it's out and it's inspiring someone, that's perfect too. And then once that happened, I'm here with you talking.
Ta-da! Ta-da! From a pragmatic standpoint, what we do is I've designed something that you can start anytime. It's self-paced, meaning once you get the book in your hands, then you allow it to, like, you smell the aroma of baking bread, you know, or you go into the mall and you smell the baking cookies or the Cinnabons or the whatevers, and you're like, oh, my God, I really want one of those. It's that attraction. You let the work attract you. And then I offer a conference call every single week on every single chapter so that when you finally get into the beginnings of it and you got questions, you register for a conference call, you come in, ask the questions. When, you know, 3 months might go by, you know, the holidays, blah, blah, blah. Oh, my God, too busy, yada, yada, yada. I'm only now on chapter one. Fine. Mm-hmm. Reserve your seat for chapter one. And off you go. Now, the when people do this in groups, oh, my gosh, I have had such a blast when four or five people just get together and say, you know what, we're sick and tired of being stuck. We're sick and tired of feeling victimized. We're sick and tired of insert whatever there. And the best groups are made up of people where maybe 4 to 6 people and at least 2 or 3 people are fairly new to the mix. They have a more fresher perspective of you. They may not necessarily know you all that well, and that's a plus because during this journey, they're going to step back and go, well, Emmanuel, I really, you know, forgive me, I don't know you all that long, but boom, 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 and then all of a sudden you're like, whoa!
Wow.
So from a pragmatic standpoint, what I want to offer everyone listening is I beg you to shift out of this mindset that with the holidays coming up, now's not the time to start. I don't know about you, but when I go to a new city, and I'm going to get stressed out because I'm in a new city, I hire a guide, and it makes going through the city a lot more fun and a lot more interesting, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Going through the holidays with me by your side, going through this work, those holiday gatherings that you may or may not really want to go to, they can become some most fabulous laboratory experiments under the sun. So I'd love to go through them with you.
Wow. You know, I love that you are making this so interactive. Your book is so interactive and along with your services and just your support and having that, it's just like, we all need that support. And I just really, really appreciate and I'm grateful for the fact that you've created this program. And one thing that I wanted to ask you was, you know, when I was reading the book, I noticed something, an exercise that sort of stood out to me. And I don't know if you would be willing to share a little bit about it, but it's called the SMARTER Goals.
Ah, yes.
It's the acronym. And I would really like if you could just tap a little bit on that, just share a little bit on that, just maybe even walk us through it so that way, you know, we could sort of get back into, you know, our worth in a way using one of your wonderful exercises.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. Now, when you hear the phrase work smarter, not harder, what comes to mind?
Work smarter, not harder. What comes to mind is ease, not too much resistance, not pushing, flow. Those are the kind of things that I think about.
Okay, perfect. SMARTER, SMARTER, page 97, chapter 5. S, specific, significant. When we're working smarter, you're really laser focused. Emmanuel, of the teachers that you consider extraordinary teachers, would you say that they're pretty specific about what they do and how they do it?
Yes.
What do you think's behind that?
Intention.
Mm-hmm. which then leads to M, measurable, meaningful, motivating. Key point, mindful.
Mm.
How often are we really mindful? It's fascinating when, have a nice day, well, mm-hmm. is that an autonomic response? Do you really mm-hmm. want that person to have a nice day?
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
A, agreed upon, attainable, achievable, acceptable, action-oriented. Oh, my God. How many people have you met, Emmanuel, that have talked and talked and talked about it for decades?
Mm-hmm. 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 Oh, my gosh. And you know what's interesting is, you know, especially in the our tribe, the very spiritual conscious, you know, I've noticed that a lot of people shy away from action because they think that, oh, well, we don't want to force something to happen. We don't want to try to make something to happen. But what I've realized, and it's interesting because, you know, I just wrote about this, is that there's a thing that's called inspired action, which is way different than forced action.
Mm-hmm.
So inspired action is about, you know, feeling, going with your feeling, your intuition, allowing that to, you know, if you feel that pull, that sacred yes, then you step into it. But if you're not feeling it, you move on and you keep going. So that's really powerful that you said that. And hopefully some of the listeners take away, you know, action is a very important part of, you know, this process.
Very much so. And when it comes to the whole concept of karma, do we understand that each and every being on this planet is a karma creator and instigator?
Hmm.
We say we create our karma, but we can also be that, for lack of better words, instigator of karma. They say every person comes into our life for a reason, yeah?
Yes.
Bingo. That's the action. Wow. Just a person coming into your life. That's the action. That's all there is to it.
Wow.
Which then...
And I never thought about that. You know, it can be that easy.
It's that... We are gifted with teachers every minute of every day. Now, the question is do we want to be students? Hmm.
Yes. Yeah. Wow. So, that's a good question to ask, really, you know, because sometimes we're like, oh, well, we know everything. That, no. Sometimes we really need to be, yes, I hear you. I maybe this perspective, I could benefit from that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Which then brings us into the first R of smarter. R, resources, research, relevant, reasonable. Every day we're given a plethora of resources. We are abundantly surrounded by resources every single day. Now, are they relevant to what we sense we're called to do? Is it reasonable? A lot of times I know for visionaries, people called to be visionaries, they're given some extraordinary visions. But in that moment, where they are on the timeline and with resources on the timeline, it may not be reasonable for you to go out there and start that vision.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Case in point, I wrote Pay Me What I'm Worth because I told my guides, look, I want a cosmic 2x4 up the head when it's time for me to start writing this book that I'm supposed to write, of which I don't even know what I'm going to write about. You know, I don't want the sign of the fish gently popping over the stone while the leaf drops on the pond sort of thing. No. I want, bam, here's your sign. Get busy. And then it was reasonable for me to start tapping into the resources. Within less than 24 hours, I met a published author. And even on the day of his deadline for a manuscript, he took 2 hours of his time to talk to me about becoming a published author.
Mm.
In less than, you know, in that short amount of timeline, which is the first T, timeline, trackable. One of the things about working smarter and not harder is if you have no sense of timeline, if you're not willing to at least track things and be real with your timetable,
mm-hmm.
you've set yourself up for failure.
Mm.
For example, I retired over 115 pounds back in 2004. I set up a timeline that was reasonable, it was achievable, it was meaningful, and it was significant. And I achieved it.
Mm.
Now, the last two, the ER of smarter, E, experience, expertise, enjoyable. I don't know about you, but I adore an old Chinese saying along the lines of half stolen, half well done. What do you think's behind that saying?
Can you repeat that again?
Half stolen, half well done.
That whole concept of, you know, seeing either the glass half empty or half full?
That's a nuance of it. I think the word that hoses people up is stolen. They say one of the major ways to know you're being complimented is if somebody copies you, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Half stolen, half well done. From that perspective, What are you seeing?
I'm still on the whole, you know, it's almost like a flattery that someone is, you know, copying you. Why don't you tell us?
One of the things that I think we have failed in our educational model is allowing people to hook up with mentors.
Teach them
there. They've done it. They can do it with their eyes closed. You know, what you do for your clients, Emmanuel, I'm sure a budding energy worker, a budding light worker would look at you going, oh, my God, I can't do that.
Mm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. I feel the same way about, you know, others, too, sometimes.
What you take for granted now at your skill level, you take it for granted. It's as easy as breathing air. Others are going to go, oh, my God, I can never do that. I can never do that. Can we say chip away at our sense of worth there?
Wow, yes.
So that E about experience, find someone who's doing what you want to do, become part of their life. And you're going to realize the last R, realistic, rewarding, results-oriented. Anytime you can hook up with someone who's already doing what you love doing, you're going to see much faster results, because once you prove your worth to them, meaning if you are a trainee of them and you actually are doing what they tell you to do versus, you know, ego stuff and all that jazz, you get into their network. Right?
Yeah.
You get into their network, and all of a sudden, all these people you never, ever would have been able to connect with, a warm handshake waiting for you.
Wow. Now, I want to tell you, the reason why I resonated with this specific exercise so much, and I loved all of them, and there's so many, we don't even have enough time to talk today, but in the future we'll talk about it, is that it's so spiritual, but it's also so grounded. And I'm sure you know what I mean by that, but it's just so, like, bridging the gap and sort of really marrying the spiritual concept of it, but then also really anchoring it into the now and making it practical, you know?
Well, therein lies you found my dirty little secret. I channeled this work such that there are a lot of people afraid of the secret or the laws of attraction or, again, this non-concrete stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to where we started, as we come to a close, if it's not touch it, taste it, see it, smell it, poop and pee it, it's not real. So I took a lot of, you know, I'm a monk in three orders, a shaman in four traditions. I took everything that I've learned and I've turned it around so that it is more or less brick and mortar based. It's practical. It's simple. It's doable.
Wow. And it's so conveyed through just your presence, you know, your words, your guidance. And, you know, I'm already just so, I learned so much and I received so many aha moments. You're like a mentor to me right now. So, you know, I'm glad that I can be experiencing that on air. So thank you. And hopefully some of our listeners got to as well. And, I would like to ask, I know we're running out of time, but I would like to ask you, where can our listeners find the book and any events that you have coming up, any, you know, other places on the web that you're at, where can they find you?
Thank you for that. And thank you again for sharing your time and space with your circles. I greatly appreciate it. The easiest way to find me, especially for people who are into easy texting, is just go out to the website, pay, the numbers 411, like you're dialing for information on the phone, pay411.co.com, but .co. That'll take you out to paymewhatimworth.com. You'll be able to buy the book there, get involved with the study groups, give me a call directly, whatever you need to do.
Perfect. And this conversation could go on and on and on. There's so many things I want to talk to you about. So I would be honored to have you back on maybe next season, and we can kind of continue the dialogue. And I usually like to end the show on a really fun note. I usually play a fun game with my, the guest, and ask them three random words and basically have them think of the first thing they can think of for each word. So would you like to play that with
me? Yum.
Okay. So the first word is community.
Love.
Traveling.
Exciting.
Worth.
One.
All right, Mr. Soul Dancer, it's such an honor to have you here today. Thank you for playing and sharing and allowing us to expand in your presence.
My honor and my pleasure as well. Aloha.
Aloha. All right. So, listeners, thank you for tuning in. You can also re-listen to this over and over again at the archives, miraclecaferadio.com. Thank you so much for allowing me to be here and share with you and co-create with you with all of our amazing guests. If you're liking what you hear, please share us with your family, with your friends, with everyone that you know that you really feel would benefit from this type of dialogue. And meanwhile, stay safe, have a wonderful 2 weeks, and I will talk to you soon.
Thank you for tuning in to the Miracle Cafe. Sign up for our mailing list at miraclecaferadio.com to find out more about upcoming shows and special events. Also, by signing up, you will receive a free powerful energy recording titled Living Your Highest Vision. Sign up today at miraclecaferadio.com, and I look forward to co-creating a miraculous journey with you.